Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. I'm Jeanette.
And I am Emily.
And we're back after a very long break.
Yeah, it's been like a long time since we recorded. We're sorry about that. School just is school.
I texted Emily one day and I was just like, I think we just need to finish this semester and then get jump back into it, just because like I was so stressed out. Like,
Yeah, definitely.
And I knew you were too. Like, it's just,
life is stressful.
The worst.
It really is. At the end of next semester, we also might take like a little hiatus just to, also, I mean, Christmas, that's a
thing. Yeah, you know, yeah, we can give us Christmas, you know, like.
Yeah, I think we're allowed Christmas, right? I mean, I don't think so anymore because we took like a month break, but it's okay.
I know. We're sorry, guys. But, yes. You know, at least we're coming back with some good stories.
Yeah. And today we're going to be posting an episode. And then tomorrow or the next day, we're going to be posting a Patreon episode, which you will be able to subscribe to using a link down below. So we're going to start posting at least one episode every month on there, probably more though, just depending. And we also will have a bunch of bonus content on there too. So.
Oh my gosh, why did I just get stage fright for a second? I was like,
I don't know. It was like, the ad is over. You can talk now.
I know. I was like, should I talk more about this or
if you want?
But yes, guys, it'll be very interesting. So make sure you look into that. And for the special Patreon episode, I'm going to try to switch it up for you and, you know, try to do Emily's side. Let's see how interesting this will be.
I'm
not going to do any justice.
I'm sure you will. You'll be fine.
I don't know. Emily, you're such a pro. I can't, like, no comparison.
Well, you're not wrong. We've been doing this for a year and a half now. That's a long time.
That is a long time, honestly.
This is a hobby that we've had for a while now and just are too stubborn to give up at this point.
Literally too stubborn. Like.
Yeah.
It's like we're still chucking along like slowly.
We really are.
I love it though. Oh man. So, Emily, since we haven't talked to our viewers, let alone each other because of how busy we are.
Yeah.
Besides the chaotic school ending, blah, blah, blah. What else have we been up to? What else?
Well, I'm getting surgery in less than a month, so that's fun. Oh, there might be a hiatus there, too.
Right? Oh, my gosh.
I forgot about that. Because I'm getting surgery for my carpal tunnel in both of my wrists. I mean, only one first, but so I'll probably have to take a break then, or else I can make you edit. Or make David, my husband, edit. So we'll see how that goes.
Just force David. Just here, shoves computer in his face.
He'll probably offer if I ask him nicely. You know. He gave me a thumbs up. So.
Oh man. Oh, that is so sad.
Oh, it's all good. I'm glad I'm getting it fixed.
Yeah. Yeah, I was about to say, at least like it'll be helpful. You know.
Yeah. Although I literally feel like an old man. Like, you know how all through high school I kept saying, like, my back makes me feel like an old man? When will it stop?
It will never stop. It'll just keep adding more on top of it.
Will I ever reach peak old man?
One of these days you're just going to start, like, balding and having, like, an old man haircut where it's just like...
I'm so excited for that day.
That right there is your full potential.
I'm so excited to get there. I'm at probably 40% old man right now, and man, am I excited to get to 100% full man.
Honestly, I'm so ready to see it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm already married, so it's fine.
Yeah, he's already trapped in. He can handle... An old man.
He can handle baldness. It's okay. Well.
Oh my god.
So what about with you?
I got new tires. So that's interesting. I got new tires on the back like not too long ago, but then I went in today because, oh my gosh, I was driving on a complete flat. So yeah, that's not good. So I went in today and got the rest of the tires. So now I have like, you know, perfect new four tires. So that's exciting.
That is beautiful. I'm happy for you. Also, I said that's not good a second ago, but my microphone was muted. Did you just hear my cat?
No, I did not.
Okay, thank goodness. I heard it very loudly. Continue. I'm sorry.
Well, anyways, speaking of cats, in other news, I am trying to get Figgy to learn how to walk on a leash.
So oh my that's gosh. Fun. We're doing the same thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I love it. Are you doing it with Merlin, right? Cuz I'm pretty I saw a picture that David posted on his story of him in a little harness.
Was it a harness?
Yeah,
it was out on our balcony. He does not like it.
Neither does Tiny Cat. She thinks I'm like abusing her when I put her in a harness. It's
cats are kind of sad.
They're very dramatic. But yeah, so we'll see how that goes. So far, every time I take her outside with her leash and everything on, she just kind of flops on the floor. So
yeah. We haven't tried fully outside yet. So what we're doing is we're getting him used to the harness and then we're adding the leash. That way he'll walk around just with the leash on and then we'll try outside.
Oh, that's smart.
So,
see,
I
didn't think about that leash part, but she does, like, I do leave the harness on her, like, throughout the day, just, like, when we're chilling, just so she can get used to it, like, on her body and stuff.
That's a good idea.
I've been doing that, but I don't know. She's very stubborn.
Yeah, cats are fun.
It's so funny. I think that's really, really about it.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we don't have any, like, actual podcast business to take care of because, well, it's been like a month, so we don't really have
exactly
it. Has it been a month yet? I'm gonna go look actually because I am curious. Although literally I feel like we did this last time where
that is so true.
Yeah, okay,
where we're like, how long have we been gone? And then we sit here and look it up and we're like, sorry guys.
It's been over a month actually. So it has been our last episode was posted March 22nd.
Oh wow.
And it is April 29th. Oh, I got a new job. I guess that's a new thing to say, but that doesn't really pertain.
Congrats.
Thank you. I tried hard. I did it. It's a job at a tennis center. It's not. Yeah.
I love that though. It honestly makes me want to work at a tennis center because, like, I, like, started picking up tennis again, you know, just like, for fun. And, I forgot how much I love it. So it would be kind of fun to, like, work at a tennis center. I don't know.
It's pretty fun. I mean, I don't play tennis anymore, but.
Right. But, I mean, just, like, in the. What is it? The vibe of tennis. Yeah.
The vibe of feeling everyone around you is like a million times more in shape than you. And you're like, oh, that's fine.
You're just like, this is okay.
Yeah, that's kind of what it feels like. I'm like, ah, yes. So. All right.
Yeah, well, let's, should we hop into this? The story?
Probably.
I don't know. I forgot how this goes.
No, that's about right. Okay. Well, I will put a timestamp in the description, by the way, if you just want to skip to this time, because that was a lot of talking from us. And I don't blame you if you want to skip to the story.
Okay, but also I don't blame you if you want to listen to us ramble about our lives.
Please listen to us. I don't blame you if you don't want to. That's fine, too.
That's true.
Okay, so today we are not going to talk about anything true crime related. Actually, today we are going to talk about a social psychology experiment.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. This is going to be fun. So have you heard of the Stanford Prison Experiment before?
No.
All right, well, you're going to after today. So, all right. The Stanford Prison Experiment was a social psychology experiment that attempted to investigate the psychological effects of perceived power, focusing on the struggle between prisoners and prison officers. And it was conducted at Stanford University, and it was conducted between August 14th and August 20th of 1971. And the research group was led by a professor, Philip Zimbardo, who used a bunch of college students. So basically what the experiment was he was going to put a group of 12 prisoners and 12 like security guards, and he was going to see how it made them feel, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So they selected 24 different applicants, and they all had to be psychologically stable, and they all did have to be healthy as well. So the participants were mostly white and middle class. The group was intentionally selected to exclude those with criminal backgrounds, psychological impairments, or medical problems, which, you know, makes a lot of sense. They all agreed to participate in a 7 to 14 day period, and they received $15 per day, which is about $100 per day now. Sorry, I had to cough. Okay. I'm back. So this experiment was conducted in a 35-foot section of the basement, which was in the psychology building. So the prison had two fabricated walls, one at the entrance and one at the cell wall to block observation. So each cell was 6 by 9 feet and contained a cot for the prisoners. So they were going to be confined for 24 hours a day. And in contrast, the guards lived in very different environments, separated from the prisoners, and they were given rest and relaxation areas and other comforts like that. So 12 of them were assigned to be the role of the prisoner, and 12 of them were assigned to be the role of the guard. So he took on, Zimbardo took on the role as a superintendent, and an undergraduate research assistant took on the role as the warden. So he designed the experiment in order to induce disorientation, depersonalization, and individuation. That's a hard word.
Oh my gosh.
In the participants.
Hmm.
So the researchers had an orientation session for the guards the day of the experiment, where the guards were told not to harm them physically or with food or water. And in the footage of the study, Zimbardo could be seen talking to the guards, and he said, "You can create in the prisoners' feeling of boredom, a sense of fear to some degree. You can create a notion of arbitrariness in their life is totally controlled by us, by the system, you, me, and they will have no privacy. We are going to take away their individuality in various ways. In general, what this all leads to is a sense of powerlessness. That is, in this situation, we'll have power and they will have none." So
that sounds so sad.
It sounds so sad. And it's sad to think that that's what prisons are like, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, for killers, that's fine. I want them to have to deal with that. But, you know.
Yeah, but that's like a whole nother can of worms. The fact that our justice system is whack. But, yeah. Anyway. So
I was going to say, we probably shouldn't go into that. But then I'm like, we're literally talking about this, like, right now. So this is the perfect time to go into that, if you ask me.
Actually, yeah, that is so true. Like, ugh.
Yeah. So the guards got wooden batons to establish their status and clothing that was very similar to like an actual prison guard. So it was a khaki shirt and pants, and they also did have mirrored sunglasses to prevent eye contact. Whenever I read that, I was like, wait, I never even thought about that before. Like,
That is so true, though.
Like, they have to, because that would make them feel, I guess, human to look at somebody.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because you like to be acknowledged. You like to be heard as a person. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody likes to be ignored.
Right.
So, like, that makes sense. And if they're stripping their individuality. Like, that's mm-hmm. one of the ways that you could definitely do that. Like, not yeah. seeing someone as an individual.
Oh, definitely.
Okay. Anyways, go on.
So, to make that even worse, the guards were instructed to call them by their assigned numbers sewn on their uniforms instead of their names, too. So, they weren't allowed to use their names, which would really create a bad sense of, like, I don't know, you don't know who you are. So, the prisoners were arrested at their home, and they were charged for armed robbery. So, the local police department assisted, and they simulated arrest and conducted full booking procedures on the prisoners, which did include fingerprinting and taking mugshots. So, then the prisoners were transported to a mock prison from the police station, where they were strip searched and given their new identities. So, there actually is a whole website talking about just this experiment, which is literally called prisonexp.org. And when reading about that, they talked quite a bit about how that was to create humiliation, you know? To, like, make them do the strip search. So it says each prisoner was systematically shirt searched and stripped naked. He then was deluged with a spray to convey our belief that he may have germs or lice, as seen in the series of photos. If you want to go look, go look. And the degradation procedure was designed in part to humiliate the prisoners and in part to make sure that they weren't bringing any germs to contaminate our jail. This procedure was similar to the scenes captured in these regular Texas prison photos. So again, go look at that if that's something that you're interested in. So, all right. So at this point, they were all given, you know, a uniform because they have to wear something. So the uniform was, it was like a dress or a smock, and they had to wear at all times with no underclothes. And on the smock, in the front and the back, was the prisoner ID. And on the prisoner's right ankle was a heavy chain bolted on and worn at all times. So there were rubber sandals as the footwear. And each prisoner covered his hair with a stocking cap made from women's nylon stocking. So that was because they would shave their heads in prisons. That's why they did that. So they wouldn't have to, you know, actually shave their head, which is, I guess, nice. Yeah.
Like the least nice that they could get right now.
Yeah, it was like nice, I guess, but... Okay, so the use of ID numbers was a way to make the prisoners feel anonymous as well. So each prisoner was to be called only by his ID number and could refer himself and the other prisoners by the number as well. The stocking cap on his head was a substitute for having the prisoner's hair shaved off. The process of having one's head shaved, which takes place in most prisons as well as the military, is designed to minimize each person's individuality. Since some people express their individuality through hairstyle or length, it was also a way of getting people to begin complying with the arbitrary coercive rules of the institution. The dramatic change in the appearance of having one's head shaved can be seen on this page. I wanted to read that part word for word because I thought it was just really interesting to read about there.
Correct.
So,
I agree.
Wow. So each of the prison cells were set to hold 3 prisoners each. I cannot talk today. We have clearly not recorded for a while.
Earlier I didn't know how to talk at all.
Right. It's okay. It happens. Okay. So there was it held 3 prisoners each. There was a small corridor for the prison yard and a closet for solitary confinement. So the bigger room across from the prisoners was for the guards and the wardens. The prisoners were to stay in their cells in the yard all day and night until the end of the study. So the guards worked in teams of 3 for 8-hour shifts. The guards were not required to stay on site after their shift. So they could just leave, which, I mean, that definitely proves that the prisoners totally got the short end of the stick on this, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, obviously they did. That's, like, the whole point of this experiment, too. But yeah.
Oh.
So the guards did have different responses in their new roles. So one of them was described by Stanford Magazine as the most abusive guard, and he felt his aggressive behavior was helping experimenters get what they wanted. Another one had joined the experiment hoping to be selected as a prisoner and instead said, "I brought joints with me, and every day I wanted to give them to prisoners. I looked at their face and saw how they were getting dispirited, and I felt sorry for them." Which... that sweet guard that tried to help. Like, aww. That's so, like, sweet of him to do that, you know?
Yeah.
So, let's talk about what happened. Once all of this was, you know, set up, it all started happening. Let's talk about that. So, the first day was relatively, you know, uneventful. But the second day, the prisoners in cell one blockaded their cell door with their beds and took off their stocking caps and refused to come out or follow the guards' instructions. Guards from the other shifts had volunteered to work extra hours to assist in subduing this revolt and subsequently attacked the prisoners with fire extinguishers without being supervised by the research staff. Finding that the handling 9 cellmates with only 3 guards per shift was challenging, and one of the guards suggested that they use psychological tactics to control them. So they set up a privilege cell in which prisoners who were not involved in the riot were treated with special rewards such as higher quality meals. The privileged inmates chose not to eat meal in commiseration with their fellow prisoners. So after 35 hours, one prisoner began to act quote-unquote crazy, and Zimbardo had described that number, then began to act crazy, to scream, to curse, to go into a rage that seemed out of control. It took quite a while before we became convinced that he was really suffering and we had to release them. So the guards forced the prisoners to repeat their assigned numbers to reinforce the idea that that was their new identity. Do you hear my cats at all? They're running everywhere.
I heard them that time.
Okay, they're in sports mode. It's kind of a lot. My
goodness.
They
got the poop scoots.
Yeah, that's what they have. All right. So the sanitary conditions were very rapidly declining, and this was exasperated by the guards' refusal to allow some prisoners to urinate or defecate anywhere but in a bucket placed in their cell. And as a punishment, they would not let the prisoners empty the sanitation bucket. Yeah.
What the heck?
So mattresses
were... that's
just
disgusting.
It's totally disgusting. And it definitely proves what having this kind of power can do to a person.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's terrifying.
It's
like,
it's
so
an abuse
scary.
Of power.
And I totally think I would not be like this, but... I don't have that kind of power. So, you know, who am I to say I wouldn't do something like that, you know? I mean,
I don't know.
I wouldn't, but...
I wouldn't force people to...
Oh, no. I would not go that far. But I'm just saying, like, power does crazy things to people.
Yeah, but yes, that is very true. And when power is given to people in the wrong hands,
it's scary.
Yeah. It's very scary.
It's so scary. And honestly, this whole thing reminds me of our last story, which was over a month ago, but the Sylvia Likens case. Like, it just reminds me of her.
Yeah.
Which is so heartbreaking because like the worst case.
Yeah, getting treated like an animal. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, that is so sad.
It is so sad. So. Mattresses were a valued item in the prison, and so the guards would punish prisoners by removing their mattress to sleep on the concrete. Some prisoners were forced to be naked as a method of degradation. I can't talk. And several guards became increasingly cruel as the experiment continued. Experimenters reported that approximately 1/3 of the guards exhibited genuine sadistic tendencies. Why can't I read? Most of the guards were actually upset that the experiment was halted after only 6 days. So,
man.
So, Zimbardo did talk a little bit about his with the experiment. So on the fourth day, some of the guards had stated that they heard a rumor that the released prisoner was going to come back with his friends and free the remaining inmates. So he and the guards disassembled the prison and moved it to a different floor of the building. So Zimbardo actually waited in the basement in case that released prisoner showed up and planned to tell him that the experiment had been terminated. But the released prisoner had never returned, and the prison was rebuilt in the basement. Now, let's just talk about that. So if it was that wrong to where they genuinely thought that he was going to come and try to rescue these people who are just volunteers, that is too far. Like, that at that point, you should be like, okay, these people are being tortured.
Yeah.
We need to stop the experiment, like, right now.
Oh, that's horrible.
As soon as someone... Like, at the very beginning, they should have seen what this was doing to people and been like, no, we're done. I mean, 6 days is not a long time, but can you imagine how long it felt to these poor people?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like that's...
it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, that's horrible.
It's so horrible. So, Zimbardo argued that the prisoners had internalized their roles, and some had stated that they would accept parole if it meant forfeiting their pay, despite the fact that quitting would have achieved the same result without the delay involved in waiting for their parole request to be granted or denied. So, they were begging to leave. Like, begging to leave.
That is so sad.
Zimbardo argued that they had no reason for continued participation in the experiment after having lost all monetary compensation, yet they did, because they had internalized the prisoner identity. And it did not take long for them to even, like, internalize that identity. It did not take long. So on prisoner number 416, who was a newly admitted standby prisoner, had expressed concern about the treatment of the other prisoners. And so the guards responded with more abuse. When he refused to eat his sausages, saying he was on a hunger strike, they confined him to solitary confinement.
Aww.
Which was a dark closet.
Aww.
The guards then instructed the other prisoners to repeatedly punch on the door while shouting at him. The guard said that he would be released from solitary confinement only if the prisoners gave up their blankets and slept on bare mattresses, which all but one of them refused to do. So he aborted the experiment early when Christina Maslach, a graduate student in psychology, I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce her name, who he was dating and later he did marry her, objected to the conditions of the prison after she was introduced to the experiment to conduct interviews. So he noted of more than 50 people who had observed the interview, she was the only one who had questioned its morality. And after only 6 days of the planned 2-week duration, the experiment was discontinued.
Oh, man.
So the conclusions from this... the experiment had been used to illustrate cognitive dissonance theory and the power of authority. So cognitive dissonance theory occurs when a person holds contradictory beliefs, ideas, or values, and is usually experienced as psychological stress when they participate in an action that goes against one or more of them. According to this theory, when two actions or ideas that are not psychologically consistent with each other, people do all in their power to change them until they become consistent. That was just straight from Wikipedia there, too.
Oh, man. That is rough.
It really is. Oh, my goodness. My cats are going crazy.
It's funny because a lot of these terms I actually learn a lot about, like, in my communication classes and stuff.
Oh, really? That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, like, when you were talking about, like, I hate big words, dissociative, like, individuality and, like, like all of those stuff. Like, yeah, we learned about those these past semester.
Wow.
It's serious. Like it's the way you see yourself. It's the way you're going to portray yourself as a human. And when people are like degrading that, like that's taking such a big toll on your emotional, like ability, you know, like it's like, that's so scary and sad. And it's also very, very sad that like that actually happens a lot in our justice system. Like that doesn't make in our jails and prisons and stuff like that, even to people who are falsely accused. Like, that is so sad.
It really is. And a lot of this is talking about how they're taking away individuality, which that has to be one of the reasons why the guards were becoming so sadistic too, because they did not view the prisoners as human themselves too, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, if you're ever kidnapped, you start talking about as much personal stuff as you possibly can.
Yeah.
Like you're like, wow, like I have children, you know, I'm like married, that kind of stuff. That's why that's so important too. And you would think that you would go into this and be like, no, I'd be fine, like just being called a number or something like that. But they would get to you because you're a human. And that's the way that that would work.
Yep. It's, oh man.
Yeah.
That's rough. That is.
It really is. So as you would expect, there has been controversy over both the ethics and the scientific rigor of this experiment since nearly the beginning, and it has never been successfully replicated. So French academic and filmmaker Thibault Le Texier, I cannot pronounce that, in a 2018 book about the experiment, I'm not going to try to pronounce that. It's just called Story of a Lie. He wrote that it could not be meaningfully described as an experiment because there were no real results to speak of. In response to criticism of his methodology, Zimbardo himself has agreed that the Stanford Prison Experiment was more of a demonstration than an actual experiment. And he said, from the beginning, I have always said it's a demonstration. The only thing that makes it an experiment is the random assignments to prisoners and guards. That's an independent variable. There's no control group. There is no comparison group. It doesn't fit with the standards of what is meant to be an experiment. It has a very powerful demonstration of a psychological phenomenon and has its relevance. But here's the thing. If it wasn't an experiment, you were just doing a demonstration, that's not cool.
No, not at all.
That's not cool. I mean, this is
As a demonstration, you went way too hard, right? Like, that's...
No, totally.
You could easily demonstrate how, like, being in prison and stuff sucks just by, like, honestly just showing people what they have to go through. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you don't have to actually force people to, like, do these things in order for people to understand that that is bad.
Oh, absolutely.
So like that is also the scary part. Like, did they enjoy it? Did they enjoy this quote-unquote experiment / demonstration? Like that, oh, that's disgusting.
Well, luckily he said that he also was getting like affected by it. So luckily whenever someone came in and was like, hey, don't do this, he was like, all right, yeah, that's probably bad. So luckily he did do that. But
yeah, that is good. But the fact that it had to take someone to be like, hey, can we not? That's
right.
Like, what?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh man.
So one third of the guards were judged to have exhibited genuine sadistic tendencies, which is terrifying. And many of the prisoners were emotionally traumatized, and three of them did have to be removed from the experiment early. So he concluded that both the prisoners and the guards had been deeply absorbed in their roles and realized that he had likewise become deeply absorbed as his own, and he terminated the experiment.
Oh, wow. Well, I hope he learned something from this. Like,
yeah, no, me too. Me too.
Like, oh, man. That's horrible.
It really is. So since the time of the Stanford Prison Experiment, ethical guidelines have been established for humans or experiments involving human subjects. And the Stanford Prison Experiment led to the implementation of rules that preclude any harmful treatment of participants. Before they are implemented, human studies must now be reviewed and found by an institutional review board or ethics committee to be in accordance with ethical guidelines set by American Psychological Association. These guidelines involve the consideration of whether the potential benefit of science outweighs the possible risk of psychological and physical harm. So at least they have rules for it now, you know?
Yeah, that's good. that'll Took prevent long. Any future, like, emotional damage.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Man. So psychologist Alex Haslam and Steve Riker conducted a BBC prison study in 2002, and they published the results in 2006. So this was a partial replication of the Stanford Prison Experiment and conducted with the assistance of BBC, which broadcasts events in a study in a documentary series called The Experiment. I have not seen this, but I do actually want to go see this. Their procedure was not a direct replication of Zimbardo's. Their study casts further doubt on the generality of his conclusions. Specifically, it questions the notion that people slip mindlessly into roles and the idea that the dynamic of evil are in a way banal. Their research also points to the importance of leadership and emergence of tyranny of the form displayed by Zimbardo when briefing guards from the Stanford Prison Experiment.
Oh, man.
So, one last thing. When the acts of prisoner torture and abuse of Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq were publicized in March 2004, Zimbardo, who paid close attention to the details of the story, was struck by the similarity of his own experiment. He was dismayed by the official military and government representatives shifting the blame for the torture and abuses in the Abu Ghraib American military onto a few bad apples rather than acknowledging the possible systematic problems of a formally established military incarceration system. So the Abu Ghraib, I am saying that wrong. I am so sorry. torture and prisoner abuse. This is just a small definition of it. During the stages of the Iraq War, United States Army and Central Intelligence Agency personnel committed to a series of human rights violations against the detainees at the Abu Thaat prison in Iraq, including physical and sexual abuse, torture, rape, sodomy, and murder. The abuses came to public attention with the publication of photos and the abuse of CBS News in April 2004. The incidents received widespread condemnation, both within the United States and abroad. So if you want to read more about that, it is absolutely terrifying. Go read about that. But it's scary that this is even being compared to the prison experiment, because that proves how terrifying it was.
Right.
So that is my story for today. It was a little short. I'm sorry. I need like a shorter one to try to get back into it, you know?
Yeah. Oh, man. That just makes me uneasy.
Yeah, me too.
But, I hated that, like, it had to take people to be like, can you just stop? Like, we...
No, seriously. It should not have taken that much.
Man.
It really shouldn't have.
Oh man, it makes you think. Like, this is still happening though. Like not in an experiment, but like
right.
in prisons and stuff. Like there is an abuse of power. There's I don't like it.
No, and I'm glad that you don't. Thank you for not liking.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's so scary that this is something that like actually happens.
Mm-hmm.
Normally. And it's scary that a third of the guards showed sadistic tendencies. Like, that's terrifying.
Yeah, and that is very scary.
Yeah, that's so scary. Oh, I just feel so uncomfortable talking about anything like that. But it's important for us to talk about. So.
It is very important. And everybody needs to be aware of giving too much power to a person who will abuse it is just like, that is one of the most terrifying things that you can mm-hmm. think of. So like, I like, that's why I do believe in like more training and more background checks and like more yeah. like all of it. Like you and the way I see it is, if it costs more or whatever for more training and more like background information, stuff like that, wouldn't you want the streets to be like ran by people who actually want people to be safe?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you want to narrow it down to yeah. the people who actually care, because the people who are not going to care, and they just like the fact that they have this ability to make someone go on their knees and to make someone to do this, like that's not the goal of
no.
of that power. Like that's not the end goal. The end goal is to make sure that whatever situation is happening, that everyone comes out safe and that mm-hmm. everyone gets what, I mean, they deserve. If they deserve life in prison because they killed multiple people, then put them in prison. But if they don't deserve to be killed on this spot, why would you do that? You know, like, it just never yeah. makes sense to me.
And prison is supposed to be rehabilitation, not torture them until they're right. even worse.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
It's sad. I mean, I wish the prison's a bad place for those that deserve it to be a bad place. But there are some people that, well, A, don't belong in prison because they may have been wrongfully put there. There's
right, which happens a lot.
It happens,
which is scary.
Yeah.
It's very scary because it's like, oh, even when you have so much, or like, I don't even know. Like that whole factor just scares me because it's
yeah.
that happens all the time. And it's just, oh, it's very upsetting. And then like now in like this experiment, like showing mm-hmm. how bad it could be.
And this is just someone an who experiment. Even...
Yeah, yeah.
This
okay,
even
exactly.
The demonstration. Yeah. yes. No. Sorry. No, I just meant like this was just an experiment. It probably doesn't
right.
even hold
yeah,
a
yeah.
candle to the how bad it actually is.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Oh man, yeah, that's rough. But people need to know about this. Like, you know, just be
honestly,
aware
yeah.
of like who we're putting in charge. Like that's all. That's really all it comes down to. Like, think about the people that have the power. Like,
yeah.
It's scary. Yeah.
And if they want that amount of power, that's not a sign.
Yeah, exactly. Like, who in their right mind is like, oh yes, I'm excited to beat people up, make them sit with their poop bucket. Like, this is just not, like, that's not normal. Like, you
no,
shouldn't be.
It's not.
Like,
it's not okay.
Yeah.
It shouldn't. You should not be excited for that, like,
exactly.
At all.
Oh, man.
Well, that's our episode.
Good one, Emily. That got me all heated. At least
I'm
I didn't
sorry.
Cry this time.
I'm
like,
glad.
Physically cry.
I tend to be good at making you cry. I'm sorry. I never want to make
don't
you cry.
Don't get me wrong.
It just kind of
this
happens.
Still makes me sad. This still
yeah.
is... putting a damper on just ugh, you know, like the whole thing, but I didn't cry, so that's good.
Good job. I'm proud that you didn't cry.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, guys, y'all can email us and let us know what you think of this episode and think of, you know, like what else we could talk about.
Yeah.
Let
us know
your thoughts.
Know.
At
HorrorSlumberParty@gmail.com.
And make sure y'all check out our Patreon, which we will be making a couple of episodes for.
Horror Slumber Party podcast.
Yes.
Probably. It's in the description.
And of course, you'll see when we post and extra pictures and updates on Instagram.
Horror Slumber Party podcast. Yes.
And Twitter.
Party underscore horror. All of the links are correct in the description.
Yeah, so exactly. Yeah, check down below. When in doubt, just type in horror party. Oh, what?
You don't even know our name.
Horror Slumber Party podcast, and maybe something will pop up and, you know, take you there. So
yeah, you'll get there. It's okay.
Anyways, thank you so much, guys. Sorry for our long break, but, you know, life happens. But we're back, and we're very excited, and we love all of our viewers. So, yeah. Good night, and scary dreams.
Bye!